It wasn't very long ago that I was talking to a group of adults, and I made a reference to a scripture passage that I assumed they would be familiar with. Well, it ended up no one in the group knew what I was talking about. And it was like, I felt really sad because that is part of our common Christian heritage. And when we don't know the great stories of the scriptures, we somehow are being impoverished. The story was the story we heard in the first reading today, the story of Pentecost. It's a reading we have every year on Pentecost Sunday. In some way, I think it's maybe after the story of the dying and rising of Jesus, the most important story of our faith. Because that's where the church began. That's where we became empowered as a church to go out and proclaim Christ Jesus. If we don't know that story, we're missing a lot. You know, but it's not just a story about something that happened 2,000 years ago. It's our story. It's the story of what is happening in our lives today. We too are being empowered by the Spirit. Empowered to go out and proclaim Christ Jesus to the world around us. That's the meaning of Pentecost. The Spirit was sent among us that we can go out and tell the world about the hope, the salvation that is ours in Christ Jesus our Savior. That's the mission that we have through baptism and confirmation. To go out and proclaim Christ to the world so that the world can know the hope that is ours through the one that God has sent, Jesus Christ, his Son. For the last several weeks, I've been speaking about the Holy Spirit. So much so that when I began thinking about the day, I thought, what am I going to say? I said it all. But no, I want to kind of summarize, recap what I've said. 2 weeks ago, I was speaking about the passage where Jesus said he would send the Spirit, and the Spirit would lead you to all truth. Well, based on that, we firmly believe that the scriptures we have received are the Word of God. Oh yes, they were written by human beings. They were written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, Peter, all that group. And yet, we also believe that there was the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, so that what was written truly becomes the Word of God. That's why we put so much faith in the Scriptures. It's not mere human words. It's divine words. But we also believe that that Spirit has been guiding the church through the centuries. And that's why the church is empowered to proclaim doctrinal statements, to make moral teachings. Because once again, it is the guidance of the Holy Spirit that is to lead us to all truth. Well, that was 2 weeks ago. Last week, I spoke about the power of the Holy Spirit and how God has sent His Spirit among us to give us power. Power to proclaim Christ to the ends of the earth. Power to make Him known. And that power is still active today in the church. Just this week I heard somebody make a comment that in the 20th century there were more martyrs for the faith, martyrs for Christ, than all the other centuries combined. Now, we don't tend to think of the 20th century as a century of martyrs. But think about it again. Think about all the people who died under communism. Think about the people who died under Hitler. Think about the people in the 1980s who died in Central America. Think about the people in Mexico in the 1920s who died for their faith. There has been abundant martyrs for the faith. And that is the power of the Holy Spirit. Another thing you might think about for the power of the Spirit is when you pick up the diocesan newspaper today, you're going to see some pictures of people in there. Some of them are priests from other nations, other cultures. And by the power of the Spirit, they've had the courage to leave their homes, to leave their culture, to leave everything that was familiar and comfortable with them, to come here to proclaim the gospel. That takes courage. It takes strength. That is the power of the Holy Spirit, still active in the church today. You and I are called to be courageous. We are called to be bold, to make Christ known in the world in which we live. Hopefully, none of us will ever be martyrs. But we are called to do difficult things in the name of Christ. Think about, for instance, our stance on the dignity of human life and the criticism, the condemnation we face because we don't approve of euthanasia, that we don't approve of abortion. Think about other things like freedom of religion. How today many medical people, they're trying to force them to do procedures that are contrary to their consciences. It takes courage, it takes strength to resist that. And it takes a willingness to suffer. When one loses their job or fails to receive a promotion. Think about our conviction that marriage is a permanent lifetime commitment between one man and one woman. We are accused of discrimination. We're accused of not being sensitive to the feelings of others. Yet we deeply believe that marriage is what God created it to be, not what our culture has decided it to be. Think about our belief in the dignity of human sexuality and how we believe that the sexual expression is meant to be reserved for that lifetime permanent commitment of marriage, and how we have fallen out of step with the culture around us and faced their criticism, their rejection. These are all things that require us to be bold and courageous, to call upon the power of the Holy Spirit, to live the faith that has been passed on to us. It's not the instant suffering of martyrdom, but it can easily be the slow, long suffering of rejection, condemnation, criticism. And yet, in the name of Christ, we are called to be courageous, called to be bold. I don't remember what week it was, but sometime since Easter, I've also spoken about one other thing, and that is that as Christians, we are called to an extraordinary love. And the point I want to make there is that if my love for others is no stronger than the person down the street who knows nothing of Christ Jesus, then I am not living the Christian life. I am not being a witness to Christ. Christ says we are to love one another as he has loved us. And he died for us. We are called to be courageous, self-giving in our love for others. That's the call we have received in virtue of our faith, in virtue of baptism. We're called to love in extraordinary ways. Now, we don't have to do that. And that's the one thing about our faith. We are free. We are free to say yes or to say no. The choice is ours. I want to quote St. Paul now. If we are going to live the Christian life, we must call upon the power of the Holy Spirit. And in Galatians chapter 5, St. Paul talks about our constant battle against the desires of the flesh. And he lists some of those. Impurity, immorality, rivalry, jealousy, hatreds, envy, dissensions, factions, drinking bouts, all of these, St. Paul tells us, are works of the flesh. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome those very deep urges and desires within our hearts. But then Paul goes on to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. He says, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. As followers of Christ, we are called to that. We are called to bear fruit of the Spirit in the world in which we live. And if we do that, we bear those fruits, we will become witnesses to Christ Jesus. And we will bring others to know Christ, to love Christ, and to serve him.